Y'all ready? Turn it up. 1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Spell it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who poses heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters will cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
Well, hello there. It is Miguel and Holly Uncensored, the bonus edition this week.
Ooh. Bonus.
But you realize what happens when we do a bonus edition? That means we won't do another one for like a month.
Correct.
That's what ends up happening.
Well, you know what? Let's not do that.
We're
going to really try to get this on the regular every week this summer.
Yes. We really are. Well, my name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
That is associate producer Scotty the Body from USF.
Hello.
And we got Danny Strano.
And me, Ryan. What's up? What's up, guys?
That is Danny.
What's up, y'all?
He hangs out with you every day from 10 a.m. until midnight. 10 a.m. until what? 3 p.m.
Could you
Sorry.
OT.
I'm listen, we've all worked in radio and have had to work the craziest shifts ever.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I worked in Savannah, I thought I was going to burn the building down.
Oh.
Because I was doing promotions and I was board hopping. And that means on the weekends, on some of the radio stations where it just plays music, you got to have someone that looks at the radio station to make sure the music's on time, the commercials are playing the way they're supposed to. And they're just basically a babysitter, just sitting there watching it. And then if there's a live broadcast, they're the person that gets you on the air. Well, I went and did a promotion somewhere as a promotions assistant, setting up the tent, making sure the talent had all their stuff. Then I had to go in and then work at night, overnight, for board hopping to make sure the stations were on time. And I wish I could remember who it was, but someone was supposed to be there at 6 a.m. to relieve me. And I was literally like in the lobby at 6 a.m., like 5:59, waiting for them to get there because I was so tired. And it was like 7 a.m. on a Saturday and they still on a Sunday and they still weren't there. I like, you know, like when you get so angry, like you get like there's like pins in your chest.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what can I do? I'm fucking pissed. And I was like, I'm going to just burn the building down.
Oh, okay.
Is that what happened? My God.
No, it was like, you know, like when you get so crazy, like the crazy thought, it just seems like, well, clearly my only option is to burn the building down.
Yeah, that's when you know that you're not well. That's, yeah. When you have those thoughts, you should probably be like, you know what? I need to remove myself.
Phone a friend maybe?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I did. And I called my boss and he didn't pick up. It was just a big old mess. Hey. But no, Danny is on every day from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And you're hanging out with us because we got a couple of things to discuss. We need to talk about Black Mirror, the show that you may be watching on Netflix. We're going to discuss that a little bit. And then...
Yeah, I directed it, by the way. I directed it.
Oh, you did?
Most of the episodes, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you're rich. What the hell are you doing hanging out here in this
hellhole? Especially till midnight.
Moonshine.
Exactly. What are you doing here? And then we have some special guests coming in, or a special guest. We have a Tampa Bay Hooters girl that's going to be competing in the Miss Hooters International Pageant in Tahoe.
Yes.
Which is really, really cool and awesome.
Yeah, there are two Hooters girls from here in Tampa Bay, and so we're going to speak to one of them about the whole experience, about, you know, she's going to the pageant and everything.
And one of them's on a cruise.
Yeah, yeah. And she's my ex, so she didn't want to be here at the same time.
I can't with you today, Dan.
He's got jokes over here. Now, we got to talk about this, hold on, and I had this all set up. This isn't like the radio show where I'm usually very like, dee-dong, dee-dong, dee-dong.
No, this is just all helter-skelter.
Here we go. Let me just
do this. Oh, damn.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, the show.
So odd that we're talking about this right now, by the way, because every time I open Netflix, since the new season is on, right, mm-hmm. it's like, it shows up, and my daughter's like, what's Black Mirror.
Oh.
She's like, can I watch it? I go, no, I don't even want to watch it.
Especially not the first episode of the first season.
Exactly. I go, girl, it is scary. She's like, for kids. I go, no, for adults.
Oh,
it's scary for adults.
My girlfriend won't watch it. She's like, you need to be there or else I'm not watching it. Like, last night, I couldn't even watch it with her, so I had to explain it over text what happened. She's like, I refuse to watch it.
God. Now, I promise you, it's not scary because I remember when I watched it, I thought it was going to be scary, too, yeah. because the opening sequence that you just heard, it just sounds really like unsolved mysteries from back in the day. Like, it just sounds really creepy.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just more so thought-provoking.
Yeah. And it's like, but it is a little scary, some of the premises for some of the episodes. And in scary, I don't mean, ooh, someone's going to get murdered and there's a killer on the loose. I mean, like, holy shit.
Ah.
This could be our reality, but it kind of already is.
No, it's true.
So that's what makes it scary.
Can you explain, Danny, like, what is Black Mirror if someone's never watched it before?
I would compare it to the old Twilight Zone or even the new one, how Jordan Peele has rebooted that series. He's a producer on there. He's a narrator. I watched the new one now. Have you watched?
Is it good?
It's so good, and it's very similar to Black Mirror, but it is uncensored like Black Mirror because it's on the CBS app.
Mm.
So it's uncensored. And but the small differences of Black Mirror is that you'll get different directors from different countries, like, for example, parts of Africa, and some of those Black Mirror episodes are based in Africa. And I would say some of the UK episodes are hard to watch because their accents are so authentic and thick. You get lost. Like, what are they saying? You have to turn the closed captioning on.
In Chateau Oprah, my house, closed captioning is always on because I'm deaf.
Yeah.
And I've been doing radio for so long that I can't hear, and I feel bad for everyone in my house because they'll go to turn it off when we watch a movie, and I'm like, granddad needs to read what they're saying, okay?
Yeah. No, we do that too because, yeah, my daughter is sleeping, and if it's like, I'm like, I can't hear it. Closed caption. I'll just read it. It's fine.
No, it's true. But that's what I like about it is because it kind of hops around, and it all has this theme of technology and what it can do to us. And I think one of the most famous episodes is the one with, is it Bryce Dallas Howard, I think, with the red hair? Or maybe it's someone else. It's the one where your social media is sort of like your currency that you use. Is that her name, Bryce Dallas Howard?
Is she in it?
I think
she was in
her.
Jurassic World?
Yes.
Yes.
That's Bryce Dallas Howard.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. And so I feel like that's the most famous one. And there's actually a game based on this I saw at Target this past weekend where in that episode, your Instagram, your Facebook, everything you do is online and then people like or rate you. And then that is like your currency that you use to get gas.
In real life.
Yes. To get, to skip ahead in line at a restaurant or even where you live.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you are a certain level of likes, then you can't live in a certain neighborhood. I mean, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed. Well, the new season just debuted this past week. And so, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it yet, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then the Hooters girls are here. We'll talk to them in just a little bit. But this episode, can you sort of go over the premise a little bit, Danny, on what you found so interesting about this episode?
Well, first of all, the name of the episode is what? Facing Vipers, or what is it?
Striking Vipers?
Striking Vipers.
Yeah.
And it's basically on a video game. I would compare it to Mortal Kombat. Anybody play Mortal Kombat?
Oh, yeah.
Growing up.
I was always Sonya Blade.
You would be Sonya Blade at the next Hot Haunted whatever thing we do this year. You need to do that. We should all dress up as Mortal Kombat characters.
Sonya
I'm Scorpion.
Blade.
I like Scorpion. What did you play as, Scott?
I mean, I don't remember. I just remember the big old game in like Skate Factory we used to play.
Holly, did you play Mortal Kombat ever?
I don't even know anything about it at all.
Okay, forget it then.
I'm
anyways,
sorry. I know it's a thing. I just
the one
know.
Thing Miguel and I have in common. Yeah. Finally,
that's about the only straight thing I did growing up was I played Mortal Kombat.
As Sonya
but then I was
Blade.
Still the girl.
Yeah.
I was Sonya Blade.
Yeah. I always wanted to make out with her. All right, moving on. Okay. So Mortal Kombat style video game, and you basically you can play online against each other. But the only difference is it's a very futuristic show, like Miguel said. So they go to the future and they make it so you play video games inside your eyeballs. So you still have a game paddle that you would hold in your hand, but you'd put something on your temple and that would like make your brain go into like a deep trance sleep mode, but you're in the game playing a virtual reality.
It's like
style.
Super virtual reality.
Yeah, yeah. Super, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're immersed. So your body is chilling on a couch, sleeping, looking like some zombie, but you are immersed in this video game Mortal Kombat style. So that is not to spoil it. I'll hand it off to you now, Miguel.
Yeah. So basically,
We're going to have to spoil it if we're going to talk about it, right?
Yeah. No, we're definitely going to spoil it. So basically, it's these two guy friends that have lost touch over the past 10 years because of life and wives and children. and they reconnect at his like 40th birthday party. And so the friend that's like still like the friend that like parties and goes out gives the married friend the VR game where you can put it on your temple, go inside. And so one night he's like, hey, come play with me in this game. And so they both end up being these Asian characters in this sort of Mortal Kombat type game. Mm-hmm. And so they're like fighting. And I thought,
I don't think you described the Asian characters very well. The male, sharp, mm-hmm. built, no shirt on, looks so good. I mean, this guy's a male escort in Vegas for sure. Now the girl, very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. I would say she's a mix of Asian and American, though. And she's, you know, has barely anything on. She has a bikini. She's fighting in this, just like you would see in Mortal Kombat. Go ahead, pick.
Wait. So one of the guys is a girl, and one of the guys is a guy.
Yes.
And which one is which?
So the party friend is the girl and the married guy is the guy.
Okay.
All right. So and this first time they're playing the game, they're like fighting and they're sort of like, wait, how do I use my body? Like, this is so different. And they're fighting and it's really interesting. And then I thought, all right, here's the twist. Like, he's going to like kill him by accident, or like there's a twist because, you know, it's hyping up to something happen. And so as they're fighting, all of a sudden, they start making out.
Yeah, and you can feel everything that's happening, by the way.
Yeah,
like
so
it's
like,
real life.
Yeah, so it's like these two guys are in this video game that are friends. One is married, the other one's like a playboy, and they're like making out, and then they do it. I mean, it's like—
In the game.
You're allowed to do this in the game?
Yeah, I guess so.
You can feel everything. You feel every punch, every stroke, every stroke.
Okay, so if like the guy, you know, finishes in the game, do you in real life?
They don't explain that.
No, they don't say that.
Yeah, but they just say that you feel the emotion. So I'm assuming that you can feel it, but they never explain if, like, you physically have a reaction to it.
Got it.
And so basically, without going too convoluted into the story, the premise of the show is them trying to figure out, is it real or is it just a video game?
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're not making out. Like, I'm not looking at you as a man. I'm looking at you as a woman. And so how much is this reality and how much is this just the game? Mm-hmm. And so then there's the tension throughout the rest of the hour of the show of like the married guy. He's like emotional and his wife is like, where are you in your head? Like, you're not talking to me. We're not having sex. I mean, because he's really conflicted about it. And so then towards the end of the episode, they have this big climactic scene where they're like, all right, let's fucking kiss in real life. Are we gay? Do we like each other? And then they kiss. And they don't like each other. They're like, nope, we're not it.
I don't know about that. I think the one guy he kissed, he's about to cry because he felt that he did connect to him.
Yeah,
but I think
that's
afraid.
The party guy.
The party guy connected?
Yeah, the party guy, because the party guy was the one that was really insistent that this keep going.
Oh, yeah, he's like, you need to play with me. The other guy's like, we can't keep doing this. Like, it's affecting my married life.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where they had to, like, figure it out. But
wait, did they keep having sex in the video game?
Yes. For a while, it was like every day. And that's why it took a toll on the marriage, because it was like he was doing this and he wasn't giving his wife the affection because he was giving it all in the game.
They were trying for a baby, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally,
of course they were. Like, that's always, by the way, that's always like the the linchpin of whatever storyline. But we're trying for a baby.
Please. And so then at the end, you know, when they try to kiss and then, well, so they get into a fight because they're out in public when they have this big emotional, like, are we gay? Are there feelings in real life? And then, like, somehow, because it's two straight men, they start fighting and the police get called. And so then the wife, they both go to jail. The wife picks up the husband and she's like, why the fuck are you fighting your best friend in public like this? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so then it sort of fades to black. And then did it say like six months or a year later?
I think it was 6 months later.
It was a year later because it was on his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It was
on
his birthday. And so basically what it ends up being is that they've had a conversation about it. And there's a whole other storyline where the wife doesn't feel attended to. And so they have an agreement that on his birthday, she gets to take her wedding ring off. She gets to go have sex with whoever she wants in real life. And then the married guy gets to go back into the video game with his best friend, and they get to make sweet, passionate love as the Asian video game characters.
This is fucked up.
It is.
It's crazy.
It is fascinating.
Yes, and it opened a conversation in my house. We watch all these episodes around a whole bunch of people, different sexes, different races. Believe it or not, everyone's head roll though. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of gay people to hang out with me. Miguel, you need to come hang out with me more often.
Come on, but you live too far from St. Pete. Though. Yeah. You live way out there.
So, but we asked like, is that gay? First of all, and is that cheating? Is that gay that you are in love with your friend that is a female character and you're having these feelings for who you know is a male? Does that make you gay?
Are you talking in the game?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But different voices, though. Different
voices. I was going to say, is it a female voice?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, Holly, like, let's say you were a video game character and I was playing you and I, you know, put the little thing on the side of my head and fell asleep and I was playing your character. Like, you would still be talking as Holly, but it would be my thoughts controlling you.
You're an avatar, basically.
Oh, that's so creepy.
It is. And so, to me, I say, absolutely, it's gay.
It is?
Because to me, I always say being gay isn't about physical. Because you as a man, Danny, you as a man, Scott, can look at another man and acknowledge the fact that he's sexy or he looks good. Because we know by the base of standards in our society what is a good-looking man and what is not. But when it comes to intimacy, to me, that is what I've always said is where your gayness lives.
Yeah.
It's like I could literally have sex with a woman. And it, you know, because it's physical touch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, physical is physical, and you're going to have a physiological reaction regardless.
Exactly. But if you are seeking emotional support, emotional comfort from it, that's gay. And those two men weren't doing it for just the physical. That was emotional.
Yeah, you're right.
The married guy couldn't work, couldn't think, couldn't look his wife in the eyeballs, couldn't kiss her, touch her.
If he was feeling like that, then it was an emotional affair.
I think he had the debate that we're having now inside his head. It was just a big conflict, and I think that's why he couldn't work, because he just couldn't figure out, man, am I gay? And then, like you said, it boiled down to them kissing in real life, and then they locked lips and they backed up and like, all right, there you have it. And then they fought afterwards because it was so conflicting and it was all emotion. Oh. They were so into it that this is what I think. And this is my side of it. I don't think you're gay. And this is why. They started this by they fought and then they were wrestling. They made out. They did it. And that was a feeling. They felt it. Oh, my God, we could do this. And then it turned into feelings. That's how it always is, though. You can never really sleep with someone and then sleep with them again and again and then not catch feelings. It just doesn't work like that. And I think that's what happened. Eventually, they caught feelings with each other's character because you're looking at a beautiful woman. You're feeling her touching you. And then you leave the game, and then that's that. You guys are friends, and you see each other, and you have awkward. And then they didn't – if you remember in the show, they didn't see each other for a long time after they just didn't see each other because whatever reason.
Life got in the way.
Yeah, feelings got in the way or whatever. And said, like, we need to stop. And then he stopped. And then the wife was like, you need to see your friend. And she just surprised him and brought him over to the house for dinner. And it was a big problem. And that's where they got in that big fight. So, I mean,
I will say this, too. Now that you say that, I will back off from what I said earlier. I don't think it necessarily makes you completely gay because I do think that there is a spectrum of sexuality. And I remember one of my friends in college, his mom had been married to his dad for like 25, 30 years. They got a divorce. One of her best friends, they started dating. She was a woman. She was a lesbian, quote unquote. But his mom always said, I'm not a lesbian. I just love Brenda. Like, Brenda makes me feel good physically and emotionally. And then Brenda passed away. Aww. And after a while, she dated a man and she married another man. And so for her, it was just, this woman makes me feel good. And so that's why, and this is, I had this conversation last night, is even though I'm 33, I'm still learning about sexual fluidity, because on the spectrum of sexuality, I'm like gay.
Yeah.
I'm like, If like one is gay and 10 is straight, I'm like a negative one.
You gay.
Yeah.
I'm real gay.
Yeah.
And so for me, sort of like straight people sometimes that are really, really straight, it's hard for me to understand because I would never want to be with a woman. Like, there's nothing about it that makes me want to seek comfort.
Would you, you know what, I'm about to take another tangent, but let me just ask this because I'm curious.
Yeah.
So how would you feel if like a woman wanted to give you a blowjob?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't let her do it. So you're like so gay that you don't even want a woman near you.
No.
But then again, I'm sure there are gay men who would have a woman do that.
My boyfriend.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. So,
and that's where it, because I kind of feel like people get confused by the spectrum of gay or however we want to call it, because there are all these different variations that aren't wrong, but they're also not black and white.
Right. Exactly. And it's not a black and white issue. And I think that's what's so beautiful and yet confusing about where we are as a culture is because we like to put labels on things.
Everything.
But like people like in Scott's generation and younger, they don't. And for us, it's confusing because I want to know, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you bisexual? Are you transgender? Are you pansexual? Give me a label so I can understand it. But then that's the beauty is that you don't have to because why?
Yeah, why? Because it might change. And so people older than us, and so I'll say like a lot of these like online warriors or whatever that are like late 40s, early 50s, they definitely don't understand the spectrum. And either you're gay or you're not gay. And like you're not going to make me gay or whatever it is.
Right,
and that's where it gets so broken down and the communication stops because it's like, we can't even have a conversation now.
It's true.
Because you don't even understand the same conversation. We're not playing the same sport.
No, not at all. And I do want to say, too, because I'm thinking if you're like 46 and you're listening, you're like, wait, but I'm not like that. We're talking about people that are that age group that are already closed-minded that don't even want to hear anything about transgender or pansexual or asexual or anything like that. They don't want to hear anything about it.
I'm not saying every person. Obviously, we know a lot of people in that age range that are not that way.
Right.
But I would say maybe broader, as a broader generalization, especially white men, straight white men, they want to know whether you're gay or not.
Right.
There's no in-between.
They need to know how to classify you.
Yeah.
So what did you think about it, Scott, after watching Black Mirror and the you know, sort of the question that Danny asked?
I mean, right from the attraction level, I think, like, for me, like, I didn't think it was gay as much as the guy in the beginning of the episode had a tendency. He was starting to feel, I think, in a rut in his relationship, and he was checking out other women. There's many scenes where you could see him looking at other women and seeing that he was sexually attracted to them. So I thought the game was kind of a glimpse of he was finding his escape through that by finding another character that was a woman. Mm. And so it had the touch, the look, the sound. Mm-hmm. All of that was that reality. Like, it's not cheating in his world, but he could go away. And when I asked my girlfriend about this, we kind of chatted a little bit before I went to sleep, was it's not cheating as much as it's like an addiction to porn where you're going into this other realm and it's satisfying you this way and it's taking that effect in the real life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much. It's like if you were... realistically, yeah. I mean, you're going, if you're addicted to porn and you're watching this and that's what's getting you to that level and that's all you need, you go back to reality and it does have that effect on relationships where, you know, you go back and you're like, I don't need to be with this. I'm in a rut now. I'm not attracted to you as much as I am to watching all this other stuff.
Right.
It's kind of like that VR where it's like you're just going to another reality pretty much and getting your groove that way when you see this other character that is what you're attracted to. And getting it off, it's like you almost forget that it's your best friend in the moment. And then afterward, it's like, I don't know how to, you know, control this. But then you also saw the conflict of like very masculine roles conflicting with that idea of like, I cannot do this, though, because that would be gay in society. If I'm seen gay, I'm seen differently and everything like that. I enjoyed that part as well. But I didn't see it necessarily as gay for a majority of the show.
I like that response, actually. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I didn't see the episode. I forgot.
That's okay.
I forgot to watch it last night. Mm-hmm. But I feel like knowing that little tidbit of information, so this man is already looking for something else.
It seemed like it, yes.
Or at least open to the possibility of, you know, in a rut or
needing it seemed like he had the friend that was the bachelor. He's going out and getting these 20-year-old women and everything like that, and he's the other friend that's married. He has kids, you know, they're doing it, but it's
routine
just,
can stifle
you. And he's been with her forever.
Yeah.
So it got that way.
So, and then you're like, well, this isn't cheating. I'm not with another woman. And technically you're not. But every step you take into a world like that, where you're emotionally allowing yourself to get pleasure or get satisfied or get something else from somewhere else, it starts to tear you down, I think, mentally and emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
Because you still do feel like you have to hide it, mm-hmm. and you're now keeping a secret. But now, and then it just starts to blossom up and get bigger and bigger, which I'm assuming is what it did in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't control it. And then there's all these external implications, even though in your mind you're like, I'm just doing this because it's my own little thing and it's no big deal. But it is.
But another interesting part, even with the show, was that the guy even said, like, you know, this feels better than real life and everything. I kind of compared that to the expectation. I think the reality of, like, I guess what a lot of people say with porn is that, like, it makes expectations way higher than the reality of it, because that's not real life.
No, right.
That's
not,
literally
right.
acting. That's all that other stuff. But that's what the game was. It was this feeling of, like, this is better than I've ever had. And so I can't get that same feeling with whoever I'm with, whether it's the bachelor, whether it's the husband. They couldn't get that same feeling.
Yeah.
And so they kept resulting the same game, the same situation.
It's that dopamine hit.
Yeah. I think it's one of those situations where you have to realize if you go down that route. Like, thankfully, watching porn, like, growing up, I knew that that wasn't reality. Because it was like, the and I don't know, like, because I haven't watched a lot of straight porn, but, like, the gay porn was just, like, so out of this world, like, not realistic, that it was like, all right, clearly that is not how people react to it. Granted, we're painting with a broad brush, but majority, that's not how it is. And so I was always able to discern. And even now when I watch it, like, I watch some, like, far out stuff, but it's like I'm not emotionally tied to it. And that's why if this sort of VR thing, go grab them real quick, if that VR thing became reality, I think I would have a hard time going into that realm. Because, like, in my world, like, when I'm watching adult material, it's between me and, like, this fake scenario. But then, like, when you're moving your arms and your legs and you're holding their face and you're communicating with them, like, that's when it just becomes, like, too much. Because, I mean, we have this conversation and this isn't far off. Like, these scenarios in Black Mirror, I mean, some of them are a little far-fetched, but a lot of them are not.
And that's why it's scary.
Yeah.
Thought-provoking, you would say.
There's
full circle.
Seriously, there's one in the second or third season where they never give you the backstory of what fully happened, but basically it's like robots have, like, taken over. And it's not like a cartoon robot I'm talking about, but one of them is like this little robot dog that has, like, all these sensors and it's, like, chasing you down and whatnot. And I remember watching it being like, well, this is crazy. This will never happen. And I promise you, 2 weeks later, there was a viral video of, like, Honda or, like, one of these Japanese car companies created a machine that in the shape of a dog that could, like, open the door and could, like, they were, like, maybe got water from a faucet or something. And everyone online was like, well, if that isn't Black Mirror happening in real life, like, this is super crazy.
Future is here.
I know. It's like all of these things, all of the scenarios, and I've only seen a few. And actually, I watched a new one the other day where it was like first season, old stuff, where they implant the thing behind your ear and you can watch your life, like the last few moments of it.
Oh,
do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is so something we would do, because it's like, that's something that we would be like, this is great. It holds everybody accountable.
Exactly.
And then you get obsessed.
Well, and then there was the episode about, I'm telling you, Black Mirror is so good. Is it San Japanero? Is that what it is?
What?
Did you don't watch Black Mirror, Scott, do you?
I do watch Black Mirror.
I mean, did you watch the one where you can go, like, if you can choose, like, once you're older and you're, like, in the retirement home, you can go and pick a different city that you want to and, like, live out your life there?
I have not seen that one.
I have not seen that one either.
Oh, that is the best episode of Black Mirror.
Okay.
Like, I've watched it three times, and I'm not one to rewatch TV shows, but it gives you all the feels. So that is your homework assignment.
My favorite is the dating app one. You seen the dating app, like, where they go to that house?
Oh, yes. Oh, that was Black Mirror is so good.
I know, but it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Once you get past the first episode in the first season.
But, like, even that one behind the ear thing, like, it was so real. Like, I've had fights like that before, and I was just like, I'm uncomfortable. This is mainly just giving me anxiety.
It does that.
Is it just because you think it's right around the corner, the technology?
It's the same reason why, but I guess, okay, so I watch Handmaid's Tale, but it's the same exact feeling I get when I watch Handmaid's Tale. I love the show, but after every episode and during the span of time in which I was binging it, I was anxious and I was uncomfortable the whole time, because in my head, we're not that far off.
It's true.
And maybe that's why it makes me so uncomfortable.
Are you able to leave those feelings after you're done watching the episode, or does it stick with you?
It stays with me.
Got it.
And so that's
so maybe you should watch
that's the
Black
only
Mirror.
Reason why I'm like, I don't know. Like that one that I saw with the thing. I was just like, oh, yeah, I have to do something else because I'm uncomfortable. But with like Handmaid's Tale, that's why when I was binging it, that entire time I was like super paranoid. I would check online and I'd be like, what's going on with the government now?
You're like,
what's happening? What's happening with this wall? Is the wall going to make us give birth to babies that we don't want to? Like, I just get super. So I'm waiting. I'm going to be binging the third season in July. And I'm just be prepared for me to be on super high alert.
Thankfully, I'll be on vacation on a cruise somewhere.
Okay, well, somebody
so
has
about
to
it afterwards.
Comfort me after
Scott
that.
Scott and Danny will. So let's switch gears right quick. Let's have you come on over here, Summer, to that microphone right there. So this is what's really cool. So there is the Miss Hooters International pageant that happens in Tahoe.
Yes, Lake Tahoe.
Tahoe, so awesome. And so one of our, we have two of our own right here in Tampa Bay that are going to compete. And we have Summer Bishop with us. Welcome to Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Summer.
Thank you.
What a huge honor. So sort of walk us through what is exactly the Miss Hooters International pageant.
So the Miss Hooters International pageant, they have it every year, and we're competing for the title, obviously, for Miss Hooters International.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're there, we're going to be doing all kinds of philanthropy work, interviewing, photo shoots, and it's just a big, like, get together with all the girls, like a sorority kind of on a vacation.
That's awesome. Yeah. How long does the whole thing take?
We're going to be there for 10 days.
So. Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome.
I thought it was like a weekend. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what are some of the categories that you compete in?
So there's a swimsuit portion of the pageant.
Oh.
Then there's hometown costumes. So you basically create a whole costume that just represents where you're from.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Yes,
hold on.
I'm excited. We got to talk about this.
Now,
yes.
Are you creating like a big orange or like walks out?
I like that, but no.
But there's other Florida, I'm assuming.
Right.
An alligator comes up.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you gonna, like your guesses,
put
though.
Cubans all over yourself?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Or just have like a big Cuban hat on.
Oh, right. What is a Cuban hat?
I don't know. It's like a flat hat with like all like the pickles and the ham and the mustard. Oh my God,
this
is amazing.
I'm dead. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, Summer.
I'll tell you what I'm actually going to be. It's a tourist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sexy spin on the tourist.
Okay, I have a picture, by the way. Ooh. This is a sexy tourist.
Now describe it for us, Holly.
Okay, so she has a little bright pink life raft around her like hips, and it says
Perfect.
Hooters in sparkly gold.
Yes.
And then you have like a Hawaiian shirt with like flamingos on it, but it's all tied up cute like around your boobs, you know? And so then like sunglasses and a little Hooters bucket with a little shovel, like a pail and for digging in the sand. And there's like a camera, a Hooters camera.
Ooh, I love this. Let me see.
Snap a shot at the end of the runway.
This is gorgeous.
I feel like that's going to be a really good one.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Did you come up with it, or is there like a team? How does
it
work?
It was a team effort for sure. I have a lot of great help at the corporate office.
Awesome. Oh, I love that so much.
Great team.
Now, do you ever have a little, like, sort of, or wait, is this your first time going to the pageant?
It is my first year going, yes.
Oh, damn.
Okay, because here's what I'm curious about is that because Hooters originated right here in Tampa Bay, obviously spread out across the U.S. and the world.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are some of the girls there that are like, well, old Summer's from the original location, so clearly she's got the leg up here.
No, I feel like everyone has a fair fighting chance.
But you got to feel a little good that you're from like, the original
area.
I'm
happy to represent the original.
Yeah, so you work at the original Hooters.
Yes, right off Gulf to Bay in Clearwater.
Wow. Awesome. Now, how long have you been working there?
I've been there for a year and a few months now.
That's so awesome. Now, you have also competing with you, Jordan, who works at the original Hooters with you as well.
She doesn't work at the original, but she's in the Tampa.
She works over in the Brandon, right?
The Brandon area? Yeah. Okay. Now, do you know what her costume is going to be to represent the area or the
state?
Yes.
She's going to be a lightning bolt.
Y'all are so smart. That's so creative.
Right?
I love
it. Creative with it.
Y'all are representing the area very well.
Thank you. We're judging. We're have any say.
Actually, as we're talking about this, I totally forgot, and I have to go back through my Facebook and see if I can find pictures. Mm-hmm. I judged a Hooters contest. I think, to send a representative. Because is it like your area and then the state and then you go to international? I judged it for Panama City.
Oh, wow.
Look at you. You have
I
to
did.
Say.
I did. I totally, this was probably like 10 years ago. You were
yeah,
probably
say,
like
this
in
was
high
very
school.
Cool. Way back
yeah.
in the day.
I know. I did a long time ago. But I remember it was outside on the beach. We got lots of free Hooters.
Hey.
And I was sitting there. And then I was like the only gay one. So I was like, yes, girl. Welcome to Wales, girl. Yes, honey. That's fabulous. Okay, so
Thank
you're there
you.
For 10 days. So what else do you do in the competition?
So in the competition, they're going to have an interviewing portion.
Oh.
So they just want to see how well you do with answering questions and being confident while talking to them. They want to get to know your personality and all of that. And then we're going to be doing all kinds of philanthropy work in the area, different calendar shoots.
That's awesome. Now, when you do the question and answer thing, is
yes.
it sort of like if you were on like a TV show and they're
yes,
asking you questions
exactly.
or
they
something?
They want you to act like you're on Oprah.
Oh,
or Ellen show.
Well, let's go ahead and prep
no,
you now.
Here we go.
Right.
Are you ready?
Miguel fancies himself a gay black Oprah.
I do,
oh,
and
okay,
I am.
I like it.
She's black.
Yeah, she's black. That's fine. That's fine. Do you, Danny? Can you have her? Can you give her your headphones real quick? So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna prepare you, Summer.
Okay.
So each of us, myself, Holly, and Scott, we're gonna ask you a question, Oprah style. Okay.
Okay.
So we're gonna prep you so you are ready to win this for Tampa Bay. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna give everybody like a couple of seconds.
I was
seconds.
Like, why are you gonna spring this on us?
I know, right?
Okay.
So I'm gonna go last because I'm gonna intro it, and then we're each gonna ask you a question. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm gonna play a little sound effect here as if we are on the show.
Wow. This is intense.
Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
What?
I'm here with my cohorts, Holly O'Connor and Scott Tavlin, and we are covering the Miss Hooters International Pageant
Yay!
In Tahoe.
I love it.
We have one of the front runners, Summer Bishop, here sitting with us, and we just wanted to ask you a few questions, Summer, before you walk out on stage about your life and your experience. Miss Holly O'Connor, we're going to toss it to you first. What, Scott Tavlin, we're going to toss it to you first. What question do you have for Summer Bishop?
All right, Summer. If named Hooters International, what will you take away from that to bring change not only to Tampa Bay, but to the world around you?
Oh,
that's a great question.
Thank you.
So if I did win the title for Miss Hooters International, you receive the great opportunity to travel the entire world.
Oh.
So I would love to just be able to do a bunch of charity work all over and make a difference and just show other girls that whatever you set your mind to is possible.
Good answer.
I'll take a good answer.
There we go.
Family Feud.
We're going to say that's a 5 out of 5 there.
Yeah. I would say so.
Yes.
Holly O'Connor.
Yes.
This is Wolf Blitzer. Are you in the Situation Room?
I'm, hello? Yes,
yeah.
I'm
can
in the Situation Room.
Can you hear me? All right.
Hello.
All right. Please go ahead with your question for Summer.
Okay, Summer. So after, eventually you will leave us as a Hooters girl and you'll go on to other things.
Yes.
What are you planning on doing with your future, and do you plan on still somehow tying back to Hooters?
I plan on being an interior designer.
Ooh.
Yes, so freelance designer. I would love to get into that. Obviously, everything ties back to Hooters because it's a great stepping stone, and they're all about growth for women and just women empowerment. And it's honestly just so great to be able to go from that and then into a business career. They're very helpful with all of that.
Score says,
I would say so.
5 out of 5. All right, Summer, thank you so much for joining us in the Situation Room. I have the final question for you, Summer.
Yes.
So tell us, think about a heartbreak or a painful moment you had in your past.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell yourself now that you've been through it?
Right.
What would you tell yourself back then? It's okay. Take your time.
It's a deep question.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because this is the most random. I'm sorry. I'm going to step out of the Situation Room for a second. Like, where
think
the
about
hell
that
do
one.
You even come up with this?
He's the.
No, it's a great question, though. Maybe. I would tell myself that just whatever you're going through now, whether it's good or bad, it's not permanent. It's not long term. So just keep your head up. And if you have positive thoughts, that's what's going to be the outcome. All I do is win.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yay.
I got a little nervous there, but you brought it home.
That's all that matters. You got to bring it home.
But you know what? Here's the thing I've learned in radio is if they ask you a question like that, you do a big dramatic pause, like you're about to be really emotional.
Give a sniffle.
Yeah, and you're like,
I could have.
Well, Wolf, let me tell you.
I'm glad you asked.
As a coal miner's daughter.
Oh, what?
I went through some things in my life. No, that's awesome. Okay, so when does the competition happen and when do you fly out?
June 20th, and I fly out tomorrow morning.
Holy crap! What are we doing?
Holy crap.
I still need to finish my packing, too.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, we need to get a picture with you. Well, Summer, thank you so much for hanging out with us and explaining what's going to happen. Tampa Bay is standing behind you.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
I had to look at my paper. Yeah. Jordan and Sura. So we are so excited for the both of you.
Yes.
So when do we find out and how do we find out who won?
So that I'm not too sure on.
We'll just keep checking your social media.
Keep updated on social media.
Can we follow you or do we follow like a Hooters account or how does that work?
There's original Hooters and the traditional Hooters. And then you could follow me if you want.
Yeah. Throw out that handle. Girl, get it. Pop that social media, girl.
Yeah.
Summer, S-O-M-E-R, Bishop.
Perfect. Well, we are so excited for you.
Wow.
All the love. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
At Scott Tavlin, S-C-O-T-T-T-A-V-L-I-N.
Danny, what's all your social media? You're still here hanging out with us?
Danny on the radio, one word, search everywhere.
Oh,
thank you.
Fancy.
And I am Miguel Fuller, M-I-G-U-E-L-F-U-L-L-E-R. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to get the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Show, you can go to hot1015tampabay.com, download the free Hot 1015 app, or if you listen to us on iTunes, just make sure to rate and subscribe. Until next week.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 1015 app, or on iTunes.